Hei, det Steinar Lofnes, pastor I Jesusfellesskapet her. I høst så kom Torben Søndergaard til Bergen, og vi var veldig usikre på hvordan vi skulle forholde oss til det. Det har vært mye kontroverser rundt han. Vi fikk møte han, og det endte opp med at vi jobbet tett med Torben gjennom hele høsten, og Torben kommer til å være I Bergen og I flere byer I Norge videre frem til sommeren. Så vi tenkte at det kunne være godt for en del folk å høre litt av prosessen vår med å bli kjent med Torben og arbeidet hans og våre erfaringer med å jobbe med han. Og vi har også tatt opp en del av de spørsmålene som vi hadde til han rundt en del av kontroversene. Så vi tror at dette kan være nyttig for deg å høre. Vi tok opp dette før jul og hadde tenkt å legge det ut da, og video og sånn, men vi har hatt litt tekniske problemer, så... Nå valgte vi å bare legge dette ut på lyd, så håper vi det at du virkelig kan bli velsignet og lære en del av denne episoden. Ok, velkommen til denne bonusepisoden som vi slapper ut både her og der på forskjellige podcaster. Vi har besøk av Torben Søndergaard. Men vi tenker å bruke denne episoden til mye forskjellig. Torben kommer til å bruke den... Og så ikke det alle nordmenn som forstår dansk så godt heller. Så vi tenker at vi skal gjøre dette på engelsk. Så da switcher vi over. So, welcome so much, Torben.
Thank you.
You've been in Norway now, Bergen, Norway, for 2 months almost. And you're leaving again and coming back after Christmas. So we really wanted to have this... this bonus podcast with you and just talk a little bit about both you coming, our process before that, and also what's happened in Bergen and everything else, what you think, for what your vision is. And yeah, so thank you so much, Torben. Do you want to tell a little bit about who you are and why are you here in Bergen?
I'm Danish. Yeah, come on. No, but it's your story. I'm from Denmark born. Again, when I was 18, loved Jesus, have been working with discipleship for years. We met, how many years ago?
15 or something 15. Like that.
But it was just one day we met because we know some of the same people. But I've been working with discipleship and something called Last Reformation. After a time, 2019, we left for United States. I was there 5 years. I was put in jail. That is a whole story for itself because of persecution. I was then in Mexico. And while I was in Mexico, we knew that it was like a new season after jail where we worked different. We worked with the church in a new way. And I knew that what we saw in Mexico was very unique, working with the churches in a new way. And I thought, okay, now our time is come to an end for Mexico. So now maybe back to United States or other places. And then God said, Bergen, Norway. And I didn't see that coming. It started with my wife actually, and I was like, no, I'm not going to Norway, no way. But then it became here, and we have been here a few months now, and working with you and Christian Fellowship and some other churches, and yeah, been a blessing. So it's actually our home now in that sense. We are a little without a home. We are turned from place to place, but it's a beginning of a new season for us.
Yeah, great. So we will dive into some, both like the controversial stuff and what people have a lot of questions. Many pastors have contacted us and had questions and we had it ourselves. And of course, we want to talk about what God has done and what he is doing. And I forgot to present say who you are. So I'm Steinar Lofnes. I'm pastoring Jesus Fellesskapet and...
Fredrik Skoglund, also one of the pastors of Jesus Fellowship.
And Danny, one of the leaders in Jesus School.
Yeah, so that's our Bible school. So we've been maybe three of the leaders in our church that have been most together with you. So, yeah, so I heard about you like in Denmark and saw some YouTube videos about you. Opplev Jesus.
Yeah, that was that time.
Deco. Yeah. I saw videos of miracles. Healings on the streets and people getting saved. I was excited for that. Really cool to see in Scandinavia. And I met you together with Ronald, that is a friend. He's a missionary in Poland. And this was before the name, the Last Reformation.
So during the years, we were always excited about that thing, healings, people saved, and also the way you preach the gospel, the focus on also repentance and baptism, people baptizing the Holy Spirit, something that has been really on our hearts too, and I've been preaching a lot, and not only preaching, but acting on. But it was something that worried me, and that was your relationship with other churches. And that was something that in my heart I didn't feel safe. So what are you excluding kind of almost all every other Christian? Because then it feels like if it's only you and the Last Reformation, then it becomes sectarian. So that was my worry, and I think many other people have that worry. So, and I've also met some people that have kind of at least used the name Last Reformation. I know that you don't know everybody that does that, but I felt it was the same. It's a lot of bad things in the church, of course. It's a lot of bad. We are not perfect at all. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of things that is not good. But it's most of all, what I reacted on was like the heart, a heart of hurt and bitterness. And I didn't like that. It kind of polluted some of like the joy of also the fruits. So I met some people that I didn't have the peace for. And that kind of shaped also my opinion of you and the Last Reformation. It was like I was not sure, and I think many people have that same feeling. That's why I'm talking about it. Then I heard that you went to jail, and didn't know all the details. A lot of information was flying here and there. But after you were in jail, I remember a video that really struck me. You asked for forgiveness to the body of Christ. Some people had helped you and your wife that you were surprised that helped you. And it seemed like God really did something in your heart when it comes to the church. That really did something in me. And I was like, many others who have watched that maybe thought, well, that's good. And then you kind of put it away. You have a lot of other things to do. I didn't think about it that much. And suddenly we heard, you were coming to Bergen. And then it kind of landed in the right of our lap. And I will just say that I was thinking, we are probably ending in the middle of this. Probably. I just had this feeling.
I tried to reach out to you, but there was no answer.
You reached out to me, and I was, I'm hard to reach out to. But I had a feeling, this is probably God. But I had some things that we needed to work with. So some friends in Kristenfellesskap contacted you and asked you to come on a 2 days retreat to meet some leaders and to talk with you and get to know you. And we always believe in talk with people, not only about people. Talk about the things that are like difficult, not only just spread rumors or boksnakke. What's that in English?
Backbiting.
And stuff like that. We don't believe in that. Let's hear you. Let's see what your heart is. And so we did that, and we'll continue to talk a little bit more about that. But this is just, what does it feel like? What are you thinking when I'm saying all of this and the impression that many people have of you? What's your process in this from your side?
Yeah, if I should explain with a few words our journey, I would say we grow up. I think that is it. We mature. And I've also matured in many ways and grown up in many ways. And the gathering we had with you and the leaders, it was really amazing also for me to have that conversation, to bring everything on the table and talk about things. And it's new. So I've never done that before. And I've done many new things the last half year I've never done before. Also, like here we meet with the pastors in a weekly gathering. I've never done that before. And I think that goes back to, like, maybe short from the beginning of Born Again in Denmark, you know, I just came into the church a little sideways and was maybe frustrated because of I'm a radical guy like you. Like I want to see life. I want to experience it. And I feel like they're lazy. They're doing nothing. Come on, pull yourself up. Let's do it. And I tried to get involved with things and reaching laws in the church I was in. And I just got some bad experience with leadership in the beginning, where as a newborn believer, it's just set in me. And that knife, that bitterness have actually been part of my life for years. The first real change I saw was actually when I left Denmark, came to America. Just 3 months in America, I met more pastors and leaders who believe in what I believe in than I've done 15 years, 20 years in Denmark. Mm. And I recognized already there, whoa, the church is bigger than what I've experienced. Mm. And I think that's my problem in the beginning, because some of the things I said about the church was maybe correct, but I put everything in one camp. Mm. And when I talk about the church, in my mind, I was maybe thinking that Lutheran church where they really need the gospel. And then instead it became everyone I criticized. And it was not their attention. It was not their idea. But to America, I started to already work more and more with the churches. But there was still, it's weird. You know, it's weird. I'm a big, strong guy. I have a lot of testimonies. I should not be intimidated by people at all. Like, come on. I have fruit to prove more than most people. But the truth was, when I met pastor leaders, I was actually often intimidated. Mm. I was fearful. I felt not good enough or lag enough or have to prove myself. And I think that had always been part of it. So in jail, God really set me free. In jail, God did something against it. So after jail, that I could sit down with you and all of you and talk without feeling I need to prove myself, without feeling I have to defend myself, with just being real and this, that was something God did in jail. Mm. So I felt jail was a change of heart. Coming to Mexico was then a new change, because Mexico, they haven't heard about Tom Sunok in the past, because they're not on YouTube with English. So So I got a new chance where I said to the pastor, please give me a chance. Because I know I'm working uphill here, especially with some church because of my past. And they gave me a chance and I saw amazing fruit. And now I could come to Bergen with that testimony from Mexico and say, hey, give me a chance, guys. Yeah. Yeah. And so I felt... I feel also I have a lot to lose here, because if I mess this up, I know no one would take my sorry apology for anything, because we don't want just word, we want action.
Yeah.
So I think it's just something God needed to do. Not saying that all of those years a little away was all bad, because it was where I really was taught thing, because I was away from the way of doing it and looking from outside and evaluating and looking. But I feel I'm starting new season now, and you're then part of that.
Yeah, and I think for many, I think people that just want to harden their hearts, or they are not believing in the gospel, and that's the reason they don't like you, or they don't want to forgive, or they like harden their hearts. It's like, well, there's nothing we can do there. Mm. But for the honest people, they really want the gospel. They want fruit. I think for those people, and I think we'll be in that category, I think the heart thing is like to be trust people. Mm. You have to kind of trust their heart, that it's not a hard heart, or it's not a hurt. It's not, because a lot of bad things comes out of hurt and bitterness. I think for most people, that would be like the key thing. And for us, it's like, we are doing mistakes. A lot of people can do mistakes. Not we want to live in sin. We don't want to live in rebellion, but we will make mistakes. We will need the grace of God. But I think the heart position is such a key. It's like, because if you can trust the heart on someone, then you can walk together. So I think for us, that was such a big key. And it's hard to know before you meet people.
Yeah.
And for us, it was like when we saw that was like, well, that's the thing we need. Of course, we can ask questions, but like the trust thing that comes from a heart connection and meeting a humble man. And I'll say, I didn't walk with you for years like that, but I could still see it in your eyes and in your face. And like in the cover of the book from prison, it's like, this is a man that has met God. It's something there. John Wimber said a thing that is, I've been thinking a lot about. We've talking a lot about that. He said, never trust a man that doesn't limp. And it was from the story of Jacob. That fought with the angel and had a limp. It's something there that creates trust. It's like, it's not only, you're not only anointed, but it's like something with a heart for God and for people that creates something. That's just my feeling. I think this is like a key thing that many people are listening for. And I will just say that. We will probably have in the future have many things we can disagree on, but it's if you believe in the heart, if you trust people, then you can walk with them. That made a really big change for me, and I loved that. It was what I hoped.
I will say with theology, like there's maybe a few things we do different, but I haven't fall over anything we disagree on in what we are preaching, what we are doing. And I think that is the thing where it's the same book we read and it's somehow the same conclusion. And for me, I think it also been especially good to experience this in Scandinavia, because my experience with you and Christian Fellowship have been really good experience with churches. And I left Europe 7 years ago with mainly bad experience. So on top of those bad experiences, then come and work with church and actually really experience good experience here in Europe, had really brought a lot of even more healing and comfort to me that, hey, come on, let's do this together.
It's great. I feel when you're talking about it, I think this is a really great thing God is doing. It's like for the church, we are not talking for everybody, of course, but it's something for the church, you as a gift to the body of Christ, for you to be brought more in. To actually have an opening as a gift into the church, and for you to experience being more welcomed in the church. I think this is a really, like, it's kind of a reconciliation thing God is doing.
I
just can add to that. You know, I was a bit intimidated by you, you know, because, you know, I'm like very much a pastor, you know, and some evangelists, you know, they don't like pastors, you know, they just want everybody out there and nobody to take care of the sheep almost, you know, that's a parody. But and so meeting you was like, I was excited. I mean, I've followed you for many years and I followed you while, I mean, the whole process in Denmark and then America and the prison experience and Mexico and all that. So I was excited about what I was seeing, but I was also, like Stanner said, looking for the heart. And what I met was a friendly man, a nice man who wanted to get to know people and who wanted to share his heart. And that to me, that works. And like you say, you have fruit and the fruit speaks for itself, but the relationship is what makes it accessible to others. So I was really encouraged by that. And I found out you had a sense of humor, you were a fun guy to be with, you know, you
Yeah, and one of the first things you asked, does anybody play frisbee golf? And sadly, nobody did. It's probably because of the rain.
Yeah, I found out. I've been out a few times. It's so muddy here. It's slip.
So, and also to meet your family, that your kids are working together with you, to meet your wife, and also your co-workers that have worked with you. That really means something for us. It was really good, and to also spend a little bit more than just one meeting, spend 2 days together, having meals and having time. That was really good. So, do you want to say something more?
No, and I also think the importance in this is, you know, is if other people are, you know, interested or skeptical or whatever, I mean, they should also, you know, talk with you. That's the basic thing, you know, and not just talk about or something. I mean, if like you have plans and going to maybe other cities and stuff, and then for leaders in other places, that you're approachable and you want to talk, you want to get to know people.
I want to share a story after jail when I came up we as work with churches and ministries, we have conflicts very often, and there is division happening.
Mm.
And when I came up, I thought about a couple from Sweden I've been very, very close with, who came to us in America, but somehow we had a conflict, we misunderstood each other and somehow broke. And they've been very close friends who are suddenly not friends anymore.
Mm.
And then when I came up from jail, I'm like, one of the things I really learned in jail, we need to fight more for each other.
Mm.
We need to be better to fight and not let the enemy win so easy.
Mm.
And there I was like, I thought about them and it was so difficult because I thought, oh, they don't like me. I was the way I handled that situation was not good and so on. And then I don't want to give up too easy. So I reached out to them and sent a message and they were like, oh, Tom, we love you. So good to hear from you. And it was so beautiful. And that was eye-opening. And I've seen that several times of former broken relationship that have been restored. And I think that's the thing I really learned in jail too. Who's our enemies and who's our friends? Mm. Where we were way too fast because there was people we maybe did not like the way they did it or how they said it or maybe just those people they hang out with was not our kind. Like, and suddenly we put people into the category of almost as enemies.
Mm, yeah.
And I think jail really gave me a patient understanding there that, yes, we maybe don't see things eye to eye with everything, but we are not enemies. And let's look past those small things. And I think that have really helped me to this next season. I think it's something we all need,
the whole
church, to fight more for each other. And even we maybe go different ways and still love each other and pray for each other. Like the way Jesus said we should treat our enemies is even how we do not treat our brothers like that.
Yeah. That's a good word. Yeah.
But I see that the jail thing was a needed thing in my heart and my wife's heart to step into this. But I want to say, when I then came out of jail, I spoke with other people, our leadership, last Reformation, and I started to see that God was dealing with them the same way, even they're not being in jail.
Mm.
So I don't believe it's just me that's having, I think it's something that's happening in the body right now.
Yeah.
To prepare us for this next season.
Yeah.
Because we really need each other because the harvest is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The harvest is great. It is. It's always harvest time. But it's kind of both and is two truths at the same time. Yeah. It is always harvest time. The harvest is plentiful. And also we can see seasons in cultures, seasons in history. And it is a time of more persecution, more pressure, more like kind of aggressive secular is pushing more on the church. And at the same time, it's a great openness, a lot of people seeking God.
Yeah.
And it's like the enemy is roaring more, God is moving, and it's like it's time to be united with who really are our brothers and sisters and who is really our enemy and who is not. Yeah, I think this is kind of a prophetic sign.
Yeah.
God is doing something with this, unifying us. I don't think it's a coincidence that God sent you here. I think this is his plan, and we're kind of just acting on something he has made ready for us.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. Many times I've been thinking about I was in Germany one time on a gathering with some people, and they said to me like, we are very afraid of getting dirty on our hands many times.
Mm.
And that's 3 years ago I heard that, or 4 years ago. But like when you come, I was thinking like, okay, actually the church is afraid of getting dirty. So with you coming, like, I would say, like, okay, let's get dirty on the hands. Let's work together. Because, when we do something together, when we start to work and get dirty, we don't care so much about that other people are a bit dirty. Mm. We get focused away from ourselves and find the positive things.
Mm.
And that's been a really encouragement for me. Just like, when I dare to work with somebody that I'm maybe a bit afraid of, or, like, afraid of your followers in some way. Because my experience most has been with your followers.
Mm.
I was excited when you gave out the first movie, the beginning.
Mm.
And then I met some people, and I was just like, I can't imagine going together with them.
Yeah.
But now daring to do it, I see like, okay, you get focused away, and you actually see that we are more in common than we think.
Yeah. I also think when you talk about times and seasons, that what God is doing in these times and seasons, I mean, of course, always harvest time and all that, but it's also God is raising up the truth that different giftings, ministries, churches needs to stand together and work together and not just be, you know, satellites moving across the heavens, barely touching one another. That if we're going to reach the whole world, we need everyone together.
Yes.
Ministering together, acknowledging one another, standing side by side to reach the world. I think that's part of what God is doing in this season.
Let me ask, what do pastors and leaders otherwise say to you when people have been?
One thing we have to talk about is some people are skeptical about the jail story. So let's talk a little bit about that. That's not been an issue for me, but I've heard people say stuff like that. But it is mainly like are you a person that is splitting churches, kind of pulling people out or speaking against churches? And then you have like different things that we talked about also. What about casting out demons in baptism? Is that kind of a... Is that a kind of a ritual that you always do? Mm. We don't see that in the Bible, blah, blah, blah. That's one thing. Some people are they don't understand. I think we understand more of like the simple church, organic, reaching people, discipling them focus. A very common way of thinking is, okay, you reach people, but you need to... take them into the church. Yeah. I think some of that is not actually a biblical way of thinking about discipleship, but I think many people see when people are strong in reaching out with the gospel, it's like, so where are these people? Do they come into the churches? How do you do that? And I think many people don't understand also how you work. So that is also one thing.
Some leaders, you know, have questions about do you only baptize people in Jesus' name, like that, like is house churches the only thing? Especially those who, and also some leaders we have been approached by in different places are skeptical, not mainly because of you, but because like Danny said, they've met some of your followers, of people who say they are followers, and have had bad experiences with them, maybe coming in and causing commotion or some kind of splits and stuff. So, I think that's the main thing.
So this is really good just to answer that.
The first thing about my jail experience, like I if you go to torbensonnergaard.com, there's a whole timeline and of everything that happened. But I'll just leave it with this, that the conquest man, Clay Higgins, they used 400 hours on my case. And they said in the Congress, the 16th of August, I have it on a video, that Torben was targeted and persecuted because he evangelical Christian minister. So the conclusion of the congressman, who has spent 400 hours on my case, and it's written in the history book in America, is written down. I want added to the record that Torben Søndergaard came legal into the country. He applied for asylum legally. So, and he said he was targeted and persecuted by this administration because he's an evangelical Christian minister. So everyone else who have things to say, but Torben did that and that and that and that, look at the people who have really done the homework.
Yeah.
Because I feel there's a lot
I didn't know, actually, I knew that, like, what that kind of sentence you said there. Yeah. I didn't know that he was the one that had worked with your case for 400 hours. Yeah.
So inside the Congress, there was a whole shell with Torben Søndergaard, 1,600 documents. So they turned through everything, my economy, who I talked with, what I did, why I was this. In his say, he said at one time I overstayed my visa, but I did not. There was a deeper discussion. I got a stamp in my passport that I could stay 3 months. But already 1 month in America, they went in secretly and canceled my visa because of persecution. So it looked like I was overstaying, but I did not overstay because I have a stamp in my passport.
Yeah, because every Danish or Norwegian, get if you months. Travel, you get 3 months when you travel to the US. Yeah. Yeah. So that that would be.
But if I was just overstaying my visa and done something wrong, why was I put up as a national security threat?
No one
are doing that. Why could I not come out on a bond? Why do they talk about human trafficking weapons more? So everything is documented, and I encourage people to go on the website, just see it, because it's one of the most documented cases. My case is in the White House right now, in the faith office. They're looking at it. Mm-hmm. So I'm still waiting for a time where Donald Trump will call me. Hey, no, and say, Tom, you can come in again.
Yeah.
But that, yeah. Mm. So do about the other things.
One detail that was like helpful for me, because somebody asked, it was like, yeah, but you can't go to jail if you've not done something wrong. And in Norwegian, there is also like a word thing, jail and prison is two different, or detention, or what it's called.
Yeah.
So you have in the US, you have different detention centers for where you are in the process.
Yeah.
So jail, or like ICE detention center, is something a little bit different when you are dumped.
When you're sentenced.
When you have sentenced, then would be like the formal prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of it's the same thing, but it's you weren't sentenced.
No.
You were accused of being a threat.
In Norwegian, the word would be varetektsfengsling.
Awaiting
trial. Yeah.
But then there is a Miranda right. There's a right to read. You had the right to silence, a right to attorney, and all that. I never read that.
Yeah.
Because also when you come in from, you don't know that, but when you sign on the visa waiver to travel as a tourist to America, you waive all rights.
Yeah.
So you actually have no rights as a tourist.
Because you're not a citizen.
Yeah. You're not a citizen. Yeah.
And that would be different also if you come to Norway.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a citizen. You came on a on a tourist visa and something there went wrong.
Yeah.
People would not have the same rights as a citizen in Norway.
Yeah.
And so that is confusing for some people. But the immigration ICE thing, well, it's a lot of things happening there right now because of the deportations.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so these centers have been quite... A lot of people know about them now. And we actually had a case last week with a Norwegian woman.
That an American man.
Yeah, she overstayed her visa.
Mm.
But she was like just a normal, it was nothing. And she didn't have all the other things with the, what you came with from Denmark and the accusations. That's also a difference. But being taken by the immigration authorities in the U.S., if it's something wrong, you can actually be put in this detention center, this ICE detention center. And that is... it is a prison, but it's not the same thing as when you've been convicted. So that's kind of a detail.
I was so lucky that there is two detention centers in Florida. There is the big one in Miami, and then there is the small one in Jacksonville. Miami is a real detention center. There you can get Coca-Cola, you can get burgers, you can play pong, there's PlayStation. You can. It's like a jail, but still better. I was not put there. I was put in Jacksonville County Center,
Atlanta.
And it was actually just a Norman prison, but ICE needed more rooms, so they rented half part of the prison.
Yeah.
So that was why I was with really bad people, and so it was so weird that, and that was also a whole discussion. Why did they put me there?
Mm-hmm.
Like they should have put me in the other place. Yeah.
And then the accusations is probably because that is not a normal thing. If you overstay your visa,
but
you were actually treated as a national security threat. And that's after 9/11 and Homeland Security and
NSA.
And it's a lot of the laws there are if you're accused of terrorism or something like that, it's. Can be really you don't have a lot of rights in the U.S. and they can take you, and it's been a lot of stories about that. And not going into the politics, it's just to explain that this is actually a thing that can happen.
Yeah.
And if you're accused of that,
do
you want to say, because that the backstory is also kind of important, you want to say a little bit about so why did you have to leave Denmark and why did you end up with these accusations?
I would say that I often say like this, it's okay to believe everything the Bible says without experience persecution, but when you start to really do it, you get enemies.
Mm.
And when you start to see people get healed, set free, or especially coming to God, there is people who don't like it. And one of my main accusation, prosecutor, people was against me, it was a guy, it sounds like a movie, but it is like a movie almost. Guy from France who had a young girl he abused sexually. She came to our training school in Denmark, she met Jesus, she got set free, and she broke up with him. He used her, he was married already. He started to persecute me, and he wrote emails, and we have it all on the website. Torben, I'm not against you. Just tell me where she is. I cannot say the name here. And she went underground to hide for him, and he keep persecuting me. So I have hundreds of email where he like, hate me in one email, next email, I'm not against you. Just tell me where she is. Then suddenly I experienced persecution in Denmark with the TV station came after me, and a lot of weird accusation and undercover journalists who came to our meetings. In the end of those programs in Denmark, he was actually in the program, that guy, with a blurred face. So he was sponsoring. He's a mafia guy. He had money. He worked with government. And he was actually sponsoring some of the programs in Denmark. When I then finally left Denmark, it was not to seek asylum in the beginning. It was just to come away from Denmark to the United States. I came to United States. We were doing a meeting already, but I went a few weeks before to get some air. He wrote an email to me. It's all on the timeline. Torben, finally you come to America, so now I can destroy you. I have friends in Washington. I will get you to jail. Mm-hmm. So I got an email from that. Then I come to America. I first decide I will not seek asylum. But suddenly my ESTA, my family papers, was canceled. Mm. And that is not normal. And I found out that it was because of weird accusation. And I knew something is off. And I did not know he was behind it. Then later, I was seeing an assignment, did everything correct with according to lawyers and this. And I was waiting for an interview, asylum interview that never came. Instead, I came to a meeting where I was accused for from weapon smuggling and later human trafficking. Mm. We later found out that guy who called me into a meeting and put handcuffs on me, he was friends with that guy from France. So there was like a whole plot to get me. But then as he grew up, it came to the leader of ICE and Homeland FBI. They knew about me. The corruption was so big that no one wanted to help me because I'm an evangelical Christian minister and I was more Trump fan than Biden fan. and therefore...
this was under Biden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually went, not because I'm very involved in politics, but when I came there, I actually went to a rally with Donald Trump just to experience it as a Danish guy. And I did a video there, and it went viral. Many hundred thousand saw the videos. Mm-hmm. And I saw that. So suddenly it just exploded all over. So somehow I was involved in politics, and I have a big platform. And yeah, so there was many things involved with it, but it's... I just did an interview today with Open Doors, who work with persecuting Christian, and he said that what we don't understand about persecuting Christian is that in every country, some of those countries in Africa where they're being persecuted, when we hear the story, we hear they're being persecuted for Christ. But when you travel down there and hear that, they never say it like that so directly. They say, oh, they have broken the law, or they did not file the papers, or they did something wrong.
Yeah. Yes.
So persecution is not so clear that it's from Christ, but they try to do things. In my case, they canceled my papers. In my case, they came with false accusation of human trafficking and weapons smuggling.
Yeah.
And suddenly I have so many false accusations around me without being investigated that they red flagged me and say, this guy is a national security threat. There's something off.
Yeah.
There is so much smoke, there must be a fire someplace.
Yeah.
And but we have proof it came from the same few people.
And I think it's so important because us Scandinavians, we have a high trust in government, we have a high trust in the system. And the reason is because there is a reason for that. We have had a good society. We had good reasons to try. We are not afraid of the police when they stop us and stuff like that. So it is good reasons for it. But still, I think now we are a bit too naive. Mm. We have hate speech laws in Norway. We have conversion therapy laws in Norway. If you have a child in Norway that say that I'm the opposite sex, it is illegal to say you're not as a parent, and you can be jailed for 3 years in Norway. They have still not tried the law, but this is a law in Norway. Mm-hmm. The hate speech law can, you can define that, preaching against homosexuality and stuff in a, like a Romans 1 or something like that, mm-hmm. could be a hate speech law. So we have to understand that this is coming to mm-hmm. Europe. It is also mm-hmm. coming to Scandinavia. And it mm-hmm. and it doesn't start with like the very direct persecution. Mm-hmm. In most places, it's not like that even. Mm-hmm. But they start with different things and different laws. And I think this is also a thing that makes for kind of Christians in the safe Scandinavia kind of can't believe that this can be true, because it's like such a strange reality for us. Mm. And also we have to also acknowledge that United States is different. It is very it is not the same thing as Scandinavia. In the US haven't done anything wrong, but I don't want to be stopped by the cops I don't even have the same trust. Mm. Usually it's you understand. Yeah. I think it's just good to talk about this because I will challenge people. If you believe that this is a hoax, I will really challenge you to seek the Lord and test your heart, and let him test your heart. Mm. So just to say that publicly, we totally believe you. It's kind of a part of persecution that people don't even believe you've suffered for Christ.
Mm. Yeah.
You've been put in prison innocent. Mm. And then people say they don't believe you even. Mm. And I think, we will stand behind you on that. Yeah. Of course, this is persecution. This was persecution. Yeah. And we have seen, I think you understand what I mean, but in the best way, we can see you're a broken man. You're not a hypocrite. Mm. You're not you're a man that loves Jesus. Mm. People, be careful with accusations if you don't know what you're talking about. Mm. And of course, go into the website if you want to see more of the details, tobensonergård.com. People need to work with their hearts also in this.
About the other thing we talk about with TLA, when I came to Mexico, it was actually a little uphill for some of the pastors, because they had some people from our Lutheran school who came to Mexico, and they didn't do good with the churches. No. It just became a mess. Mm. So that was his only experience with Last Reformation. There was somebody who had been on our school. Mm. So when I came, he was a little like, oh no, is that more of the same? But then he experienced something different. I want to say, like, we have many, many people going through the school in and out, and just because they've been with us for 2 months, it don't mean that they represent everything we are doing. So there's that part of it. Another part, we have also been a magnet of people who have been frustrated of the status quo. And there's many people who are just frustrated of lack of life and lack of gospel and lack of devotion to Christ and living this life. And then they have been in churches where they never experienced the full freedom from sin, never experienced the deliverance, never experienced the life, and then they come to us, experience the life, and then they feel cheated by the former church.
Yeah.
And some people try to go back and try to fix it, and it don't work. So there is a lot of mess, and I recognize that. And I think part of it is our fault. Part of it is just the gospel. Jesus said, "Don't think I came with peace, but strife."
Yeah.
Because the word is powerful and it divides sometimes, especially in maybe religious setting.
Mm. Yeah. And part of it is definitely the church's fault also to not receive people, to not have grace, even if people have some
sharp edges
to receive people that really really have a fire from God and the kingdom. So it's different parts of this, and it's not all to blame on you either, but it's
but I recognize over the years when we were in the United States, I had a time before jail where I was really like, I saw that people come to us and meet God or come to a school or grow a lot, and then go back to the churches, and they just didn't line up with the church again because they've experienced something, they've tasted something, they wanted something, and it was difficult to bring it in. And And I've been trying to prepare people for years somehow to go back again, but it had been difficult. And and there I really felt God really put in my heart, told me it's time to do it different, it's time to bring it into the churches. And and this is what is different here also, because if I can work with the pastors as here to really understand what we are doing and bring something in, it's not just one person who suddenly stood up. And because, you know, if everyone is here in some churches and one person is on, oh, I see healing and deliverance and this, it is to be proud. What do we do? Hey, don't be proud. We put him down. But instead of, let's rise up everyone. Let's let it be part of the culture where that one person who do it, he's not think he's more than anyone else, because we are all doing it. And if we do it as a church, I just see a more lasting fruit, and we don't need to divide up the way we have been seeing. So I feel this is part of the change I'm trying to do, to say, okay, instead of just training individual people, let's really work with the leadership and the churches. And I think there is an answer in this, because I see a different fruit. Also from Mexico, when I now left Mexico, they're continuing in a way I did not see other places, because other places I came, did something, exploded, and then I left, and many people left, and then there was just an explosion afterwards. But this time I come, work with people, let it grow as a leadership, leave, and then they continue doing the follow-up and doing the work. And I see a lasting fruit, and this is what I think we can avoid some of those issues out there by the way we do it now.
Yeah. I also want to say, when we were together, you know, you were going to have a Luke 10 school here, which is finishing now.
Tomorrow.
So, and you actually said, you know, you asked almost forgiveness beforehand, saying, we don't know all these people. They may cause some trouble and they may, you know. But, I mean, we've had a lot of your students in our church. Yeah. Some of them have stayed in our building for some of the weekends, and they've been to our services and stuff. And they've been nice and kind and friendly. They've been on fire and they want to see things, but they've connected well with our people. They've made friends. Yeah. Some of them even come to meetings when it's not mandatory to come to our meetings. Yeah. And it's just been a privilege to have these people here.
And they will been honoring us too.
Yeah, very much.
And we have a culture. We want people to just go, and we are not afraid of even like mistakes are done. But they've come to me many times. Mm. People have been baptized and stuff. They always come. Is it okay that we use the baptized people here? And this person, I think, is connected to your church. Is it okay? And it's been, and for me, it's like, okay, of course, go. But like the humility and the relationship with them has been really good.
I think that is also a different attitude. I think we tried years ago to work a little with church in America, but we haven't prepared people enough for it to really just, hey, we are here to be a blessing. We are here to help. We are here to serve. And I think it's an attitude change, I think. And of course, I would love to have gone 10 years back and have done the same 10 years
ago. Well, who wouldn't, seriously?
But how have it been then, like, for you? Like, with
let's talk about the good stuff.
Come on.
I think this is important.
I say about the baptism thing. Yeah. Like, deliverance, no, it's not a theology. Like, it's not a. There's things like we do a repentance talk before people get baptized. Like, what sin do you want to wash away, and what do you want to bury, and do you already receive the Holy Spirit? Again, I often give that tool, but don't say it's not like a biblical doctrine, but it's still a tool we can use. It's not something we build on and fall on, but it's a good thing to do. And with deliverance, I often say like this, yes, we know we are called to cast out demons, and we do that. Sometimes people get delivered before baptism, sometimes people get delivered later. Or sometimes people get delivered in baptism. Mm-hmm. I just want, baptism is not a deliverance tool. It's to wash away sins, to follow Christ, to be baptized into him. And therefore, but what I've seen, when we really prepare people and then take time to minister to people, sometimes we see deliverance, not always. Mm-hmm. And it's not like people come and say, I want to be baptized. Why? Because I need freedom. If that is the motive, say, no, let's just pray for you. Mm-hmm. Because baptism is not a deliverance tool, but yes, we see baptism and deliverance in baptism. Mm-hmm. So I'm important for me to not make it a doctrine. Mm-hmm. And my mistake sometimes in the past is when we show videos, we always show the action. We love action. So we see the juicy stuff, but it's not, if it becomes every single person every time, I would be worried. But it's not like that. But sometimes there's deliverance, sometimes there's not. About baptism in the name of Jesus, I do that because I started with Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who I saw how they did it other places in the Bible, like in Acts and Romans, what they talk about, to Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, to in the name of Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, to. And I think for me, it's again not a thing that is important for me. Like myself, when I got baptized, they said in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now when I baptize people, I'm more like, you ready to get baptized into Christ. Okay, I baptize you into Christ in the name of Jesus. Because I see that, and theology kind, I feel it fits better to how I read the Bible and even understand Matthew 28. But it's not a big thing for me in that sense that I will never re-baptize people. People come and say, hey, I got baptized this way. I got baptized by these words. For me, I think it's really the heart thing and it being prepared and not so much what is being said. And we have people with us who's like, I baptize you in the name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, into Christ. And I'm like, it's not a big thing for me. No. And I don't want to make a doctrine thing.
Yeah, it's just good to clear that out.
And I believe in Trinity. It's not like a Trinity thing either. People think, oh, you are oneness theology. And no, it's just... It's just through study Bible and how they practice it. And the way I see it is a little, we repent toward God the Father. We get baptized into the Son and then receive the Holy Spirit. And we see the Godhead here.
Yeah.
The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Because that is the question I got a couple of times from people in different parts of Norway now. It's like, does he believe in Jesus only? So that's one of the things I've been having to answer.
Yeah.
And I would say that I don't believe you do. No. But what would you say to that?
I heard that in Denmark also, but I never understood what Jesus only meant. But then I came to America and met Oneness Pentecostal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And there's amazing people in Oneness Pentecostal. I know many of them, but I've never been able to work with them somehow. And I just feel like it's just a different thing. Yeah. The way they understand it. And I don't really get the doctrine.
No.
So I don't believe in that. No.
So baptizing in the name of Jesus is what we see in the book of Acts.
Yeah.
So, of course, the other way of doing it is from Matthew 28. And that's kind of what we are used to.
Yeah.
We've always been thinking, well, Jesus is also in there. So I don't see the problem with adding the Father and the Holy Spirit. But I totally understand that. And also thinking about why we do things, not just doing it out of tradition or this is the, but it is mentioned several times in the book of Acts that they were baptized in the name of Jesus. So it's nothing wrong with that. And I think for most people, it would be that thing you answered. Are you not acknowledging the baptism in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that would be like a problem for people. But,
Do you not believe in the Trinity?
And I want to say that I've been accused many times. I heard somebody said just a few weeks ago that I don't accept people being baptized in other churches. And that is wrong. That is lie. Like, I'm never like when people come to me, oh, I was baptized in Pentecost Church. Oh, I have to re-baptize you. No, I don't believe that. But then yesterday, sometimes we baptize people again, but for me, it's not who baptized and what church denomination you're baptized into. What is really important for me is that heart of repentance, that I am repented and I'm turned away from my sin and being baptized into Christ. Like, we had a girl here, we baptized again. She had been baptized only a year ago, but she was living with a boyfriend in sin. She got baptized and she went back and continued with the boyfriend in sin. Mm-hmm. And there have been no change in her life. Mm-hmm. All of that time, until I met her again, she fully repented, and then she got baptized and broke up with her boyfriend. And then he got born again. Now they're together again because now it's holy. It's a good way. But I think, so for me, is what I'm looking for is that heart of repentance that I want to follow Christ. Yeah. And I want to say again, I've also lived in America for some years and traveled a lot. And as we have religion in the Lutheran church where everyone is baptized without knowing God. The same we see in America, many are baptized with immersion without really knowing God. And it's difficult to understand for a Danish guy, probably, but do you really need to be baptized again? Yeah, but in America, it's all over. You can stay in worship and lift your hands and be baptized and live in sin and have no problem with sinning because the culture is so strong and the lack of repentance is missing. And I think, so for me, I'm very, look at the individual, not make a law out of it, not make a rule out of it, but just help people to find the freedom in Christ. And then we do a personal conversation. And what we have done here with you and Christian Fellowship, there was people from their churches where we were like, okay, should they get baptized again? And we said, go back to Christian leadership and talk with them about it.
Yeah.
And there have been times where I said, no, I don't feel you need to. And then there have been times, yes, you need to, because we have heard your story and it was very clear you have never repented. You are not in that heart of state. But it's something we can talk about.
And we should do like totally one episode just on the baptism part, because I think we've many people talk about troenes dop, a baptism,
faith, believers faith, baptism,
believers baptism.
Yeah.
But the lack of adding repentance to that is a big thing, and also Pentecostal charismatic churches, and the understanding of Acts 2:38, on Pentecost, it cut to their heart, and they said, "What should we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." That's a short version, and so I fully believe that we need to come to faith and repentance, and then baptism.
Yeah.
In water, then baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Sometimes the Holy Spirit just does it before, and you have examples of that in Book of Acts. But it's like that. That's the normal Christian birth, we need to talk about repentance before baptism. That's a important part. Yeah.
And let me in the end here, like you know, I heard like. You and Christian Fellowship we work with is very on line with Acts 2:38 and what we believe. And in many ways, there haven't been a lot of new things I've come with. But still, the approach, how have it been for you then with those? We have met more often and pastor meeting. You also been pastor meeting. And we have a pastor meeting on Fridays, and then we have a training 5 weeks with you in Jesus Fellowship on Mondays and 4 weeks with Christian Fellowship on Wednesdays. What will you say about the whole last month here?
Yeah. The first thing has been great. Yeah. And we have been mostly talking, so maybe Danny, tell some more about that. Yeah.
For me, it's been really good. And as you say, for us and for me, it's not been a lot of new things. It's been more just like some adjustments and how to tools to use. So how do I start a conversation with people, actually? Many times that's been a big problem for me, like, okay, how do I approach people? Just seeing people do that and try out different ways, that's been really helpful. Then it's been the thing of, like, I would say the cards that you guys use, the gospel cards, where, like, I made a video of it for our church because, like, it was, like, mind-blowing to me how, like, suddenly I saw through what you were sharing and how you were using them. Like, actually, I know the gospel, but I don't know how to give it to a person that doesn't believe. So actually, I need to practice sharing the gospel. And then, like, when I just started to use the card, I was like, okay, this is easy. I know this. I just didn't know how to do it in this context. So for me, then, when I got conversations with people, it was so easy to actually give them a full package of the gospel in short time. So that was like mind-blowing to me. And then be able to lead people actually through repentance, because like it was not just mind-blowing for me, but for how the people that I shared with reacted, that it was not believers, was like mind-blowing. They were mind-blown, like, is it just this simple? Do I just need to repent? Is this repentance? Is this sin? Is this what he did for me? Is this how I can receive the Holy Spirit? Okay, you are here. Like, you have these cards with the different hearts, like stone, soft heart, baptized, and all this. And like they are able to like position themselves where they are. And it's not you preaching at them. They are actually telling you where they are in the journey. And it's just an amazing tool. And to in the school, I started with this like now, not before... 2 weeks, I think, before we, because we go out on the streets every Friday, but like 2 weeks in a row, I just put them down with each other in the school and gave them the cards, and now you practice. You have 2 minutes on sharing the gospel or 5 minutes to sharing the gospel. I will stop you when these minutes are gone. How far has you come? Mm-hmm. And they started to learn this. Mm-hmm. And it's been such a tool. And through this, I've also seen a lot of like healings and people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And yeah, it's just been, I think one of your students from the Luke 10 school said it in an amazing way to us, like when they visited us in the school. He said, like, the reason why you don't see it is because you don't talk about it. Mm. Mm-hmm. So we don't see baptisms immediately after people come to faith, yeah, because we don't talk about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't see the Holy Spirit come over them and they're speaking in new tongues immediately, mm-hmm, after they get saved, because we don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. We just say, Jesus loves you, and do you want to believe in God? Mm. Yeah. And pray a prayer. Mm. So yeah, it's been amazing, yeah, tools for, yeah, me personally, and for the school, and I think for, yeah, everybody, yeah, that has, yeah, been partaking in this.
And also the focus on finding people.
Yeah,
the person of peace,
the person, yes, of peace from Luke 10. And
can I share?
Share about that.
Because,
yeah,
like, this was also very like transforming for me. Because like, mm, many times I've been used to like work prophetically. Mm. I'm pretty strong prophetically, so I would go on the street and I would ask God, like, okay, who should I speak with? Show me the person. Mm. And many times then the bar for missing is really high. But suddenly I understood that, like, I can go in faith and I can then see, like, where does the Spirit land? Where does the peace land? Mm. So it was not about anymore just, like, finding out who is the one person God talks about. Mm. But it was about, like, okay, I can actually approach people naturally, mm, and see the peace of God land, mm, in the conversation.
You can check it.
Yeah, and, yeah, if it doesn't, yeah, doesn't land, I just go to the next one. Yeah. And then it's not like this part of, like, oh, I failed. Mm-hmm. It's more like, okay, actually the piece didn't land there. I did the step that I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Now I can take the step, and it's not that big bar also of rejection, actually. Because, mm, you are, yeah, you feel like you're successful in actually just, mm, taking that step, mm, of looking for, is it peace here? Is, yeah, it peace?
Yeah. I think the focus on finding the person of peace, what has really helped is you go from sowing a lot, mm, and maybe when you sow, it will click in, mm, to somebody, but then you kind of don't know. You focus on sowing, but when you focus on, I want to find this person and take them the next steps, and, mm, and as you say, mm, sit down with them and go to, yeah, a cafe, mm, invite them home or something, that becomes what you're looking for. It becomes the goal, not just sowing. Of course, sowing is important. It's good, but. Focusing more on who is ready to be harvested, who, mm, is the person of peace. That has been like not a totally new thought, but it's like it's tweaked our focus, mm, yeah, and then it bears more fruit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And more of what we actually always wanted. Mm. Take people the full, getting real breakthrough, becoming a disciple. Mm. Yeah. It's kind of the tool's focus kind of to that direction. Mm. So that's good examples, yeah, of how the, yeah, tools and what you preach has really helped, yeah, us.
I could, yeah, share two testimonies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like one Friday I was out with one of the students, and we were walking with, we have the B-Bahn or the tram station right outside the church here. And we saw one person, and we just went to him and asked like if he had pain in his body. And he said yes, and we prayed, and he got healed. Mm. And I tried to then like, okay, can I get your number and we can meet one time for a coffee? And he said yes. And then I turned around and I was going down to another tram direction, and the same happened with another person in the stairs down to the other direction of the tram. So he got also healed, and I got his number, and he also wanted to meet. So the next week I met these two persons individually, and both of them I was sharing the gospel with and leading. One was like 3 years ago, he was backslidden. So 3 years ago, he walked away from God. And because of the healing, he opened up, and the cards again just like showed him the way back. Mm. And he got baptized here. The other person I was traveling to, and I was sharing the gospel with him the same way, the cards. And he was a Muslim. So he, there and then, when it became like he wanted to repent and get baptized. But the fun thing, though, he didn't come to faith fully. Mm. But he, because the day after, I preached the gospel so clear to him that he saw the cost of what would happen in the family if he really got baptized. It was no problem to believe, but to get baptized was a problem. So I'm still in touch with him. I'm trying to follow him up. But yeah, so that's two testimonies. Like from.
Yeah. I also think from my perspective, you're teaching on the different grounds that the seed of the gospel goes into has been really important. Understanding the four grounds of the parable of the sower has been very helpful. I also think from a pastoral side, one of the main things for me has been a lot of things that you do as a pastor in counseling people, inner healing and stuff, is actually, in many ways, is actually more birth defects than the way it should be, because I don't think the 120 that the Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost did a whole lot of inner healing and deliverance for many years, but the 3,000 that got saved that day. I've always said I don't believe in that. You know, I believe there was something more happening there, and I believe if we give people a proper birth, like you talk about, you know, faith, repentance, baptism, and water baptism and Holy Spirit, then a lot of those things, God just deals with them, and you don't have to, I mean, of course we want to help people when they struggle, it's not that, but maybe that it can really help people not to struggle so much in their Christian walk. They get a much better start of things, and that's been really encouraging for me, I would say. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. But I would say, again, there's so many testimonies I just heard before I came here of two people who got baptized yesterday.
Yeah, come on.
And new stories is coming in. And this is the whole idea of it, phase one, is to bring people back to the first love, get people excited, stir up that faith, keep it simple, and get the whole body involved. Phase two, we will come back and work with in the new year, is where we want to see go from the personal piece to the household. That is phase two, where we then add the spiritual level, how to give people more individual training, like how the babies need milk, but how the young man go from solid food to become parents, to really individual training. And together with that, there we have the fivefold ministry, where we start to recognize all the gifting. So it's more than just evangelistic, but it is some of those tools, as you said, it's just a small adjustment here and there. You said something about you saw the. When I do the teaching and then do the demonstration, where I took somebody up to demonstrate and prayed one time, nothing happened two times, but then I went into a deliverance and they got so free. And just to see that, how it works, I think that is really important for us. Those small things you pick up.
Yeah, and it's such a good example because, we believe in deliverance, we believe in healing the sick, and we are actually doing it also. So what is the difference then? Well, you're demonstrating faith and boldness, and it's like the small details of, when you started to go into deliverance the third time, it was like, I just saw so many times I've just prayed the third time and fourth time. I haven't, it's like, so then you have a revelation and you see, of course, why didn't I think about that? Yeah. And it's like those small things is a really big thing.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting how the faith rises, like not only individually, but like in the church, when you see demonstration, if something happens, it's like the doing of the word and listening to the word together, the word and the spirit, it really does something, and we've seen more healings, we've seen much more deliverance. And strangely, when we've traveled other places, we've seen more manifestations, and we didn't even do anything else. It just, it started. So it's really impacted us, and we see something has happened in us. It's just the beginning. And I think we have to close now, but I think it would be really good after Christmas to have a new episode and talk more about this, talk more about what has happened and what's the next steps, what does it look like having transforming the culture in a church and what and also the phase two and other things. I think this is a really good start, but you want to say something in the end?
I want to say there's a really good book about it. I want to recommend the book.
Come on,
the book is the Bible, but it is really, I think, for one of the guys from Christian Fellowship, he said this, I interviewed him the other day, Per Arne, he said, what do you come with? It's not something new, but what I love is from the teaching to the action,
yes,
yeah,
it comes right away. It's not teaching now, action next month. Mm-hmm. So it's come close, and I think that is the journey we have been on. So mm-hmm. It's nothing new under the sun,
no.
Mm-hmm. But it's just to how do we step into this life? How do we get activated?
Yeah,
and it's beautiful. And I want to say it's been a pleasure to meet you guys also, mm-hmm. and Jesus Fellowship. And I want to say that I'm excited. I'm mm-hmm. excited because I really truly believe that this is much bigger than just us in Bergen. Yeah, I think this is Norway. I think this is Europe, and
yes.
and it's something God is doing this time. Yeah, and
yeah.
So I'm excited for it.
Yeah. So we are really seeing God doing stuff, and we really want to take this yes. and go with it. And it will transform not only our church. Mm. It's already taken us new levels, mm-hmm. but it will transform for many churches in Bergen. Mm-hmm. And we have this podcast for the people that
yeah.
are wondering what is happening, yeah. because we believe that this is an open door, yeah. this is opportunity
yeah. Yeah.
all over Norway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're coming back after Christmas,
yeah.
you'll stay in Bergen until June,
yeah.
and you will travel to more places in Norway.
Yeah.
So I think this is a really good way of helping people to take some steps in the journey we've done with you,
mm.
and understand some of the dynamic behind it.
Mm.
And I think we'll do a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of things we haven't talked about. Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, yeah. Torben,
yes,
for coming to Bergen,
yeah.
for your humility, for your serving. That's one thing I
yeah.
didn't say. You're never asked for money.
No.
You're not coming to like one meeting,
mm.
even. You're coming like lots of meetings and pastors' gatherings and training. You're never asked for money. Of
no.
course, we want to bless you.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
But it's like, and you're coming, not only you're coming with the whole team. People can call up and have people in their house ministering to them.
Mm.
So you've been really serving
yes.
the body of Christ and helped us. So, yeah, I'll just say we will recommend you
yeah,
to other
totally.
Cities and churches mm. in Norway. And you said, give me a chance. You asked, mm. give me a chance. And we've given you a chance, and we are really happy about
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
we say, so give Torben a chance,
yes.
other pastors and churches. Okay.
And if you have questions or anything, feel free to contact us. And we can talk about that with you guys. Yeah.
Yep. Great.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Let's pray.
We'll do
that. God, we thank you for what you're doing in Bergen. Thank you for what you're doing in Norway, Scandinavia, God, all over Europe. And the harvest is great, God. And the workers are few, God. Pray that you send out workers from the churches and help us to live this life you have for all of us. Help us to be not only hearers of the word, deceiving ourselves, but help us to be doers of the word, taking up the cross and seeing the kingdom grow, God. Come with your Holy Spirit and bless this time and this season for everyone who's listening, God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was fun. I love it. I love podcasts. How many programs have you done?
Like in total?
Yeah.
So we have
hundreds,
200 with
okay.
one of the podcasts, but we have 4 or 5 podcasts. So
okay,
yeah.
How often do you do podcasts here now?
So with the one I do is called Kulturkrigen. That's weekly,
okay.
once a week, and my wife has one podcast, Mamma's Hjärta. That's once a week, and we have Hyrdepodden. That's once a month.
Okay.
And then we have podcasts that are more serious.
Yeah.
That it's not like weekly,
yeah.
it's
no.
already done.
Yeah.
So we have Disciple School.
Okay.
And the speeches.
Yeah.
So we have many podcasts.
Yeah.
We have a new Bible. We have a Bible podcast also.
Yeah.
And that's
Bibelam.
Yeah, that's
really two young guys.
Yeah, two guys that study the Bible.
Who's editing this? Who is sitting
you
have
a so my brother Vega, he's a
he's
key person in that.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And then we actually have a guy in Oslo.
Give me a hug, I'm not seeing you again, you know. Mm-hmm. Before next year. See you next year, my friend. Yeah. Keep running with
greetings
it.
Greetings to your family.
Keep doing it. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so most of the bugs are just audio.
Hei alle sammen, det Katrine og Steinar Lofnes her. Vi hovedledere for Jesusfellesskapet. Så kjekt du har lyttet til denne podcasten.
Har du forresten hørt noen av de andre podcastene våre? Ukens tale, Disippelskolen, Hyrdepodden, Kulturkrigen og Mammas hjerte.
Du finner disse podcastene på Spotify, Apple Podcaster og på nettsiden vår jesusfellesskapet.no.